Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm actually running this from my phone, so we'll see what happens.
Oh. Oh, technology.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the controls from your tiny little phone?
Yep.
Okay, well, let's make this really simple. It's not a computer screen where you can really go back and forth and see what's going on. So, should we not take callers just to keep it simple and just do the show?
We can take callers.
Okay,
we
cool.
We can take callers. I'm gonna assume we can take callers. So,
okay.
What I'm waiting for just the technical stuff behind the scenes. You know, my laptop, for whatever reason, is just sort of spinning. So,
okay.
As soon as it stops spinning, maybe I can transfer this to a laptop. But for right now, it's good. I see there are people that are listening via
phone.
Okay,
great.
But, but no hands raised.
Okay, good.
I can see our usual suspects in the chat room. I guess we'll leave it at that. I may not be able to get to you in the chat room unless you. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I think you can look. You could take a peek at the chat, but I think that's a lot. I think maybe you can just respond verbally if you get something on the chat. But to type in, let's just streamline. That's a lot. So, my goodness. And just our last show, which seems a lifetime ago, it's crazy how from Thursday to Tuesday, girl.
Right. Right.
Girl. Yes. It seems like we do a show once a month when it's between a Thursday episode to a Tuesday episode. And I found it was just wonderful to have the conversation that we had and to really support a listener that was going through so much, and to give her clarity, comfort, and some understanding, and then just to hear how individuals in rehab are preyed upon for insurance kickbacks. I lost my mind on that.
Right.
So it's going to be very, not that we're going to go to, if you're wondering what we're talking about, you can go into the archives or go onto iTunes. You go onto either Blog Talk Radio or go onto iTunes. Look for The Lois Effect, and it's our most recent episode, which took place this past Thursday. And that goes more into depth with what Elisa and I are touching on now. And I would hope that our caller is a little bit of a whistleblower and puts this out there, and maybe even change legislation or regulation or something.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of her brother who was a victim of that. That was incredible. That I'm so glad she called.
Yeah.
So
let's try this because we have a hand raised.
Okay, so we're going to try to take your call, caller.
Let's see if these controls actually work. And it looked like it didn't. Okay. So
I'm not surprised. That's a lot for the phone. The phone's like, I'm not a computer. Leave me alone. Stop it.
Well, unless the collar just dropped, which also could happen, because I was able to use this to loop
okay.
you in. So
maybe they just want to listen and not jump in. Okay.
But
callers, if you want to get a reading or get into the conversation, Elisa is on standby. We are dealing with limited technical interfaces right now, so we're going to do our best. But in the meantime, we'll get right into the conversation. So just to put a pin in what we were just talking about, that's such confirmation of how important it is that while we are on a live platform, to be available to callers and to also have a focused conversation in between callers coming in. So right now there's no one in the queue, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think based on personal experience and then just based on the energies being consistent, maybe unless you were thinking about anything, talking about going, adventuring outside of your comfort zone.
Okay.
And full disclosure, well, actually, I should circle back a little bit. We go back and forth with our personal experiences, and now with this new format, we get into sensing Lois's energy, and definitely I'm feeling her energy and kind of her blessing, like, no, you can talk about your little situation, like it kind of goes it kind of goes with whatever. Put it this way, she can take it as a means of making a point or bringing wisdom or clarity or what have you. But when we had the old format, when we were just talking about whatever, I had mentioned that I met somebody very much by accident that was on December 1st, had a really nice date, say maybe mid-December, and then had a second and final date on January 1st, all very positive, and then in between all of that and then moving toward possibly date number 3, a lot of communication via mostly through text and then several phone calls. So being that I hadn't been out in the dating world since the 1782, girl, I mean, I was 25 when I met my ex-husband, so, you know, several decades later, what the hell. But anyway, and I really looked at that experience kind of as a social experiment, because I really was convinced energetically and just on every level that I was done, not interested, not looking for it, not thinking about it, what have you. And when this chance encounter, because it was a very chance encounter, occurred December 1st, I couldn't even believe that I was giving out my number. I mean, I literally ran into my apartment saying, what did I just do? So I thought it was done. Completely foreign, but I embraced the opportunity to just explore a door that I really thought I slammed shut. And it was quite the education. And I did end things. It was only 2 dates, chose not to make it a third. And thank goodness, I mean, it was so like rated G, borderline PG, not even PG-13, okay? Like,
okay.
Okay, like rated G, maybe on the cusp of a regular PG, but barely. No, I would say rated G, actually. Let me not even, like, let me not even front, like, I would say rated G with a little side of jadedness, okay? And I was really paying attention to how I was feeling during phone conversations. And I said to myself, oh, I'm not sure. I'm on the fence. I'm not sure. So I was pretty into it. And especially because I was just basking in the memory of date number 2, which really was this magic, standalone, really innocent, yet really major experience, because I allowed myself to be in that space and be in that energy and surrender a little bit. And that was something that was very, very healing. And, you know, if this person was some jumper cable, I don't drive, but jumper cables, so that I could find my way again.
Uh-huh.
And that was really the purpose of this person. There's reasons why you meet people in your life. And then all these delays, fortunately, and I'm one person that's happy when a date gets delayed, because it gives me more time to process and not be so awkward and ridiculous. So there were all these delays on both sides, and I wasn't mad at that, but there was a lot of communication and a lot of phone calls. And I'm noticing on all these phone calls, oh, there's a little bit of a double standard here, where if I would – if I would be a little raw or a little vulnerable, and again, I'm pushing myself out of my comfort zone and honest and thoughtful and taking my time, I don't want to hear, or I'm not comfortable hearing, rather, you really take a while to get to the point. And I'm saying it nice, because this person's a bit thuggish, but I'm not gonna imitate it. But it was as if Tony Montana and Scarface, are you going to say something now, or are you going to beat around the bush? You know, like, so there's that really, like, borderline macho kind of energy, and the irony, and it really makes me laugh, is that this person is really into energy. Their father is like a shaman in Colombia, which blew my mind, into numerology and astrology, and like, but it's like a medicine man. So that blew my mind. Has listened to this show and even had a few things to say about this show. Okay? like sometimes you stutter when you talk. Well, excuse me, it's live. And if I'm talking about getting out of my comfort zone, yeah, I'm going to stumble. I'm going to stutter because I am getting out of my comfort zone. I like to shut down and kind of keep things in. So the fact that we're on this platform, that is a safe space. And we have callers, okay, and we've had, people so choked up.
Right.
And trying to find the words we're going to give them a safe, comforting space. And I'm like, to myself, I'm like, don't you be talking about my show now. I'm talking about my kids. Wait a minute. Let me call the baby daddy. And I was gonna call you and Anna. It's like, no, girls, I need you to jump in. He's like talking about the show. You know, and I even talked about him on the air quite favorably.
Mm-hmm.
So he would like listen to a few episodes, and I'm thinking, okay, that's cute. Okay, file that. But I kind of forgave that a little bit. Okay, you want to kind of feel like you know everything. Maybe there's a little bit of a trigger because of the adventures and the experiences that I have. Although my profession is far from stable and financially incredibly erratic, I love what I do and I love the experiences and the value that comes out of it. It all kind of evens out. And at the end of the day, if I'm taking care of my kids, then I'm the richest person on the planet.
Mm.
If they're good and I can manage the debt and the situations that I find myself in to make sure my kids are good, it's a beautiful day. And then, very interesting, a week ago Friday, right, today's Tuesday, so a week ago this past Friday, but I'm still like the jury is out. Like, I'm kind of paying attention, like, oh, I don't know if there's going to be a third date, because a third date would lead to a fourth date and then whatever, and then that's going to lead to, excuse me, right? That's going to lead to a few things. That, it's not that I'm not open to that, but I have to be open to that with the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I'm really not going to be open to that, because then you're going to get really comfortable, and then you're going to think you own me. And again, it's all I can do to get out of my comfort zone just to have a conversation with a man. That's
mm-hmm.
not gay. Okay.
Right.
That's so much easier. Honey, if a game, be in my bed, we'd be watching soap operas and, like, you know, we'd be in bed for 3 days and having the best time, like the most innocent best time ever. But with a man identifying as straight, no. And then he's a Latin man, forget about it. I mean, and listen, mm-hmm. I can say it because I'm Latin too. So don't be like, oh, she's so racist. No, I'm not. Okay. So we don't want to hear it, people. Okay, so a week ago Friday. But I'm like, okay, the jury's out, and I'm exploring, and maybe this is how things are. I'm like the alien getting out of the ship at this point. I don't know a damn thing. But all I do know is how I feel. So levels of, are you comfortable? Are you uncomfortable? And does getting out of, and see, this is where Lois comes in, and does getting out of your comfort zone mean that you, where are the boundaries with that? How is that defined, getting out of your comfort zone? Do you get out of your comfort zone enough to the point that you are in situations and interactions that don't serve you and are unhealthy and potentially risky and dangerous?
Mm.
One would think not. Or are you, and I think what Lois is saying is that, or are you out of your comfort zone and it is the training ground for one's discernment and one's
mm-hmm.
autonomy. So this is where her guidance is coming in for that, where that's what that's for. So it's not extreme one or the other, that you are blindly, well, it's really good for me to get out of my comfort zone, so I'm just going to put myself in all kinds of danger because, yay, I'm being so brave. No. Discernment. So all of that kind of unconsciously made sense. And I want to know from you, if there's any connection that you're going to make with knowing what Lois taught with what I'm about to say. So I'm going in and out of being comfortable and uncomfortable, but knowing it's healthy for me to get out of my comfort zone as a means of exploration. So I was really be as present as possible with the, with these phone calls and sort of giving the benefit of the doubt and sort of like, okay, let's see, I'm open, I don't know. And I'm going to be very honest, and then there's another voice saying, well, see what happens, because this might be it. You know, I act like I'm 150. I know I do. this might be it. So are you sabotaging yourself? So, you know, and I'm questioning myself. Are you sabotaging yourself so that it doesn't go further? Or are you really paying attention? And have you learned something from being married for more than half your life? Have you learned something, maybe, in these 50-some-odd years that you've been on this freaking planet? Have you learned something? Well, I guess I have. So this past Friday, again, jury's out on the phone, had tentative plans for the next night. And in the middle of the conversation, I didn't like what I was feeling. And I said to myself, oh, okay. Thank goodness I'm incredibly intuitive. And I think I got to start taking internal energetic steps. The purpose has been served, and I don't want to violate that amazing memory. It's worth it for me to, like, to end it so I can hold on to that pure memory, because that has been so healing for me and has made me more comfortable within myself and in that landscape of being kind of out there and dating and whatever the hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
I, in the middle of the conversation, I literally felt as I'm listening to this person and thinking what they're saying isn't really smart and kind of immature, and I'm not really getting anything out of it, and I'm noticing that this person really likes to dominate a conversation, so it's not even a dialogue. And if it was fascinating conversation, I'm a good listener. Okay, no problem. Mm-hmm. And I literally felt in my body, and I never felt this before, an absolute shift. And I know that there have been things, I've heard it on my friend's podcast, North of 40, great podcast, where there is an episode, I think it's episode number 2, called The Soul Shift. And that's where it's this definitive moment where you just are so lined up, you just see and perceive and process everything differently. And I just felt it. It was so weird. I just felt like, and it wasn't like I trembled or I was convulsing or anything like that. It was just like this layer of energy just came in, like, okay, we're done.
Mm.
Okay, we're done. And I'm really getting bored with what you have to say. I felt so strong. I didn't feel like this passive female listening to some bullshit, you know, whatever. And I said, in the middle of whatever nonsense that was being said, I said, I got to take care of an email. And I abruptly got off the phone, and we haven't spoken since. Now, of course, things aren't that cut and dry, so it took quite a few missed calls and finding a reasonable reason, and came up with something. So I'm not going to get into a whole accusatory situation, and there was truth to the reason. And I always like using elements of the truth. I don't like to be a dishonest person. So there were elements of the truth, family priorities. So that was absolutely legit. And basically, in a very brief text, said, thank you for everything. I wish you the best, but it's time to close this brief chapter between the two of us. And then, of course, a bunch of missed calls, numerous messages, and then so I just had to do blocking. I had to just block.
Wow.
And then, and I was really proud. I was really proud of myself. I had to just block. And, I'm sure that the message is received. And then on to the next. It's like I was, I wasn't really, I can't speak for this person, but I know it wasn't devastating. It was more like there was no conquest. Sorry, there's plenty of people to conquer. Go forth and conquer. And yeah, I did the right thing and felt completely differently when that energy was telling me this is done. And I never felt anything like that. It was like this layer of energy just appeared, and it shifted everything where there was no weakness. And if anything, I thought, well, even if this is it, this is good. Because I wasn't left with the wreckage of a failed marriage and feeling like, I guess in the next life I'll figure out what it's like to engage in that type of relationship or engagement or relation or energy, just the energy, because I really don't want to get into anything with anybody, to be honest. But just for that experience, that attention, that the way that one would communicate if there is sexual energy or what have you. And for me, that's really getting out of my comfort zone, because I had that under lock and key. And I put crazy glue in the lock, and I threw away the key, and I lost the locksmith's number. So for some of those things to be unearthed and to feel like, oh, okay. Perhaps they're still, it's not totally done. And so I'm very grateful to this person. So let me ask you that. So with anything with Lois, did she ever talk about any sort of like shift that you just know, like a shift took place?
I don't think she's ever mentioned that, but I think she would say you have to trust your intuition. You have to trust,
right?
And honor what it is that's happening within you. And for you to feel it that way, that's indisputable. So,
exactly.
it isn't about making you wrong, because you can't deny that you felt it.
No.
And it isn't even really about him. It is just about the energy. And
right.
the way I was feeling that was like when something is aligned, you know what that feels like. Especially in the contrast of knowing what stuff feels like when it's misaligned, and you didn't, if misalignment seems to be the norm and then it finally gets aligned. So anyone who's gone to a chiropractor,
right,
you know what that feels like. Like, oh yeah, that there's a little bit of that pain of, but and then you know that, yep, this feels so much better. So when you feel it within yourself, there's nothing to really analyze about that. There's not like getting in your head about it. It's like, no, that just feels better. and so whatever comes with that, it feels like when you were describing it, like just everything comes into sharper focus. And so probably all the things that are at the core of who you are, that started shining through, and you're like, yeah, like I don't need this. Like, I don't need to hear any more of this.
Uh-uh.
And it was, I think I can relate. I don't think I've had something as strong as that, maybe not in that context, but it's like, yeah, I'm done. And it, you know, it's so clear to me now, like, to even waste another second on it doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Because it's like you, the two of you cannot move on along in that, in this journey. Like, there's no more journey. If you were to continue doing it, it's like you're taking the baggage of whatever that is with you, and you know you're taking it with you, and it's not even your suitcase. You're like, no. Yeah. So I think that's, like you said, when you have these layers that you've kind of bust through and just to uncover what's really true, there is that awkwardness that's outside of your comfort zone, because what you adopted as comfortable, even though it's also dysfunctional, is like, but this makes more sense. Like, this frees me up, and it's, like I said, undeniable. You can't just say, "Oh, I felt that, but I don't know if I believe it."
Right.
Like, no, yeah, that's
right.
That's the truth.
And listen, and
yeah.
shame on me if I denied that. Shame on me if I ended up in a bed. And listen,
right?
This girl, she is awkward. Okay. she is awkward. So shame on me. That I would have put myself in even more awkward situations, more vulnerable, more risky, and why to set myself up to be energetically maligned? Hell
mm-hmm.
no. And it's crazy because there are so many people I've noticed that don't listen or pay attention to those layers, to those shifts. Like, they could feel it as strongly as me, but still in their mind, again, the most infallible
mm-hmm.
law of the universe is the law of free will. So in their mind, they can like really rewrite the whole everything, and in order just to have somebody in bed with them.
Mm-hmm.
And no, ma'am, no thank you. And there's a really trashy, and I own my trash TV. I embrace my trash TV. I don't act like I'm like this intellectual whatever, hypocrite. But there's this one show, it's called Love After Lockup or Life After Lockup. And it's about these people. No, it's so good. And it's about these people that fall in love with people in jail. And then what happens
mm-hmm.
once they get released from jail. And there is this one woman. The guy was quite a few years younger than her. Nothing wrong with that, because this guy was younger than me. But I said to myself, her name is Angela. And I said, oh, I will not be Angela. Nope. Nope, I will not be. Nope. And this guy was a sex addict. She knew it. He stayed in her home because that was the designated home for his parole. She found out that he was involved with all these other women. And when she found out, she went out to the backyard. I think there's someplace in Georgia, of course, at backyard, burned, set his clothes and everything on fire, told him to get the hell out. And then when they show, I haven't seen the most recent episode, but when they showed like scenes for the upcoming episode, she's talking to her friend. She's like, yeah, but I love him. He makes me laugh. I just love what he holds me, what he kisses on me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I said to myself, what perfect timing, because I am not going to be Miss Angela. No, I shan't. I will not. I shan't. No. Girl. Which brain are you thinking with? Not the brain on your shoulders,
right.
Clearly. Girl. No. And he knows it, too. He's like, oh, yeah, I know what to do. Of course, yeah. And that's just heartbreaking. So to have that inner strength and I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel lost. I felt the opposite. I felt good for you. And how wonderful and how much appreciation and thanks do I have for this person who I found attractive and 12 years younger than me and whatever. Like, yay, okay, good. Okay, she's still got a little bit of a pulse. Okay, yay. Okay, but the story continues. So let me know if there's anybody in the queue, because this is going to get juicy in a minute.
Oh, all right. Well, there is a hand raised. Same person that was trying to do it earlier.
Okay, so you know what?
Show.
Because this takes another turn, so we're going to leave it right there. Okay, let's take the call, because it's good. Let's take
oh
the call.
Oh, my God.
Scandalo. It's scandalo.
770. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello, this is Sharika.
Not hear your name, girl.
I
are you on speakerphone?
Yeah, I can hear.
Shanika.
Hi, Shanika. How are you?
I am good. I have a question about a coworker.
Okay, you sound, honey, you sound like you're underwater. Like, the connection is not great. So
okay.
I know you said you have a question about a coworker. So maybe just
yes.
Talk as clearly as you can, and hopefully we can understand your question. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Okay, and I just wonder if I'm picking up right on my intuition. He's all right to work with, but it's just sometimes I feel like he may be stalkerish.
I can't understand. Okay, so let me see if I understand. So, and Elisa, if you understand too, because right now
I can't hear.
Okay,
I can't
so
hear her very well.
Shanika, I'm getting question about a coworker. Couldn't hear too much, but I thought I heard you say stalkerish.
Yes, yes.
Oh. So what's the question? I don't really want to hear the story, because I'm all about the energy, not the narrative. So what makes you describe your coworker as stalkerish? Don't tell me a story, but what makes you think that?
Well, sometimes she just comes in my work area. Like if something falls, she'll come over in my work area to pick it up. You know, even though she'll call my name before she'll come over, but it's like in a rush. And then sometimes, you know, she'll have this perfume on that is just, I don't know, it's strong. It really stinks. Just different little things.
Yeah, okay, well, let's stop there. So stalkerish is a very strong word.
Yeah.
So I think let's dial that back.
Okay.
Okay. Now I know many of us can be very sensitive, just we're wired like that. I know I'm extremely sensitive to everything, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. That's what makes me good at what I do. So I embrace sort of like the cons with that. I wouldn't change anything about me being so sensitive, because it can be beautiful. But where it comes to perfumes, that's why in certain workplaces, I see in gyms and locker rooms, you know, please be aware of your perfume, because some people are very sensitive to smell. And she
mm-hmm.
probably likes this perfume. Do other people complain about it?
No, I don't think they say anything about it.
Okay, so you might have a sensitivity to what she's wearing, but because she's wearing a perfume that she likes, that you're maybe have an extra sensitivity to, doesn't mean that she's stalkerish. The fact that, wait,
okay.
You got to really own your words, okay? I'm not saying
mm-hmm.
she's not stalkerish, but in what you're telling us, And then you said she comes around the work area, but you called her, right?
Well, no, she lets me know she's coming in my work area.
Is she coming in your work area uninvited?
No, but it's just, I don't know.
Okay, okay, hold up. So, again, it's hard to hear you, but when I asked you, does she come to your work area uninvited, you said no, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then how does that make her a stalker?
Okay, well, would someone call your name all day long for no reason?
Okay, now, again, I can't hear you. So you said when somebody calls, now she calls your name, she has work questions, or, okay, is she new at the workplace?
No.
Well, then why don't you ask her? Why does she call you? For what reason?
Just for no reason.
Well, no, there has to be a reason. She just calls your name and then that's it?
Yeah, I call my name, just asking, like, maybe what I'm doing this weekend. Can I pass her the jacket? Just, anything. Just
okay.
Call my name for anything.
So it's not stalkerish. She just maybe picks up on a friendly energy, but you could just no is a really you could say no.
Mm-hmm.
No is one of my favorite words in the English language. So what's the problem?
Because
it's not really her.
I can't even explain it.
Well, you don't have to explain it. It's almost like what we were talking about on the show just now, right? That I kind of felt like I had to just sort of shut it down with the person before it got to a third date. Like, I just felt like I don't really want to deal with these texts and these phone calls and feeling like I'm not really being perceived or respected or regarded. I shut it down, right?
Yeah.
And I was able to maintain a certain integrity and a certain purity of it. So
mm-hmm.
You can do the same.
Yeah.
You can
and
just
I have,
say.
And it's much peaceful now.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Yeah.
Because you're doing it.
I'm just wondering what I was picking up wasn't right. This past weekend, she texted my phone saying good morning, but I don't hang out or talk to coworkers really like that,
Well, okay, so she has your personal cell?
Yeah, I gave it to her a long time ago.
You can just delete the conversation.
Yeah.
And then if you have to block it, block the number.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, what I told this person, and there was truth to it because, again, I don't like to be dishonest, was that
mm-hmm.
I have to limit outside situations right now because my focus needs to be some issues that I have to attend to with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find something that's truthful.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really see. She's not showing. Look, a stalker is someone that's like out your door, at 6 o'clock in the morning or is peeking through your window. She's not doing that. So maybe she wants to be friends or maybe, who knows, or maybe she has some emotional issues. And what I will say this, there is, and let me know if I'm feeling the energy on the right track here, there
mm-hmm.
is, she does have a tendency to be clingy,
mm-hmm.
and there's an emotional, fracture that she has.
Okay.
Are you a little bit older than her?
No.
Is your demeanor more mature than hers? Meaning, it doesn't have to be like an age thing, but it's almost like you're more mature than she is. It's not an age thing, but it's a vibe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So she sees, there's it's unconscious, but she sees kind of like a maternal kind of energy. Be older than you, they can feel a maternal energy.
Right.
So have some. So I would say, it's not stalkerish. She is. She there's a little bit of a damage. She's had a difficult life. There's a lot of sound here.
Oh, whoa. Let me.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, it's hard enough to hear you. So whatever else you're doing, like we can't.
I just muted her for a moment. So.
Okay, great. Because we're gonna wrap up the call because this is really all the last piece of it that she sees some light within you. Be compassionate. Have your boundaries. Ignore the text messages. And just offer her compassion, and that's it. And if you have to set the boundaries, then use something truthful to maintain your boundaries. But she's not a stalker. She's just someone that sees something in you that she feels safe. And Elisa, if there's any, so that's pretty much my piece of it. So I think it's fine. I think you can handle it. I don't think there's any ill will. I just think this person is a little bit damaged. We all are. We're all damaged. It's just how we manage that being damaged. And Elisa, anything you want to jump on? But that's yeah. So I would say don't worry about it. You can handle it. I don't think there's any ill will.
All right. Let me just.
Thank you.
That is interesting though. I think she may have triggered something with you, like maybe a past memory of unwanted attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the questions that Liz was asking you just to see if it was anything over the line to that corner of it's a stalker, but yeah, I think it, like you're on high alert, and she just may be someone who needs a little bit more attention and just sees you as someone that
too much attention, and I'm like, we have it's too much,
right? And the only thing I can say, the only experience I've had where I'm like, this is a little strange. This is like way back in middle school. I just had someone who's like giving me notes. I'm like, we don't need to. You just gave me a note. We need to talk about it. And I just had to talk to her because I was confused. I was like, why? This is a lot. This is a lot of notes for one day. This is a lot. So, and it was an awkward conversation, but I was curious because I'm like, I don't understand the need for all of it.
Yeah.
But, of course that's me at 12,
I could be on my phone and she'll call my name. Okay. You see me on the phone. Why are you calling my name? Like, this is rude.
And there are people who like to use that name, like they will say your name a lot, and I always think that's weird too. But but there are people like, Shanika, blah 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 blah, Shanika. I'm like, okay, I know you're talking to me.
Oh.
We're making eye contact, so
Okay, I want to jump in here because Shanika, are you the one who sent the email at 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because what you're asking has nothing to do with this phone call.
Yeah, that's another question.
Okay. So stay on the. Okay, we're gonna. Okay, so what Elisa just said actually kind of ties into your question, right? So Elisa, her birthday is July 23rd. Okay. Okay, we're going to mute you. Keep listening. We're going to mute you because there's some weird noise, but
okay.
We're going to talk. Okay. So, Elisa, she says her birthday is July 23rd, and she said she got another question. Okay, that's fine. She goes, so we answered the work thing. Just remember that song from Destiny's Child. Say my name. Okay. That would be really funny. We could like play that. Okay. I once had a best friend who I known for 10 years. We are no longer friends. Wanted to know if there's a possibility and enough energy between us for reconnection. We haven't been in contact for over 3 years now. I have reached out, but she is non-responsive, wondering why.
Oh.
Isn't that funny? That's kind of like,
yeah.
Isn't that funny? I have no idea, but it's really interesting how you're feeling is kind of like how your coworker might be feeling in a minute.
Right.
But isn't you're experiencing both, like, the full spectrum, you know, not really wanting to connect with somebody, meaning your coworker, and then wanting to connect with somebody who's not responsive. So
wow.
That's interesting. I'm going to let you, because we're in the last few minutes of the show, you have her birthday July 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, yeah, give it some time and try again. But Elisa, I'm going to have you handle this one.
That's all right. That is interesting.
That's really funny. Yeah.
So I think they're definitely connected in terms of, you know, you being on the receiving end from your friend, one of your best friends or whatever. And then this person who, you know, you've had contact with, you work with. So there's a bit of a history there just in terms of that, maybe not best friend, obviously, but, you know, acquaintances, coworkers. She has your cell phone number. So, you know, there's this, it's interesting how they are parallel and you're seeing both sides of it. You've been on the receiving end of it. You're the person that is kind of wanting to shut her out, you know, the coworker. This year, the personal year for you, as of your birthday this past year, is a number six personal year. So the number six energy is a very loving energy. It's very nurturing. It's also about, it's just about love and that love in terms of your, it could be, you know, it could be romantic love, but this is also just a love of wanting to take care of things and, you know, the people that are around you. That's always important. So this energy for this personal year is making you really think about, you know, who is in your support system, what seems to make more sense, you know, who do you want to be connected with? And for you to want to reconnect with an old friend in this year makes sense. But I love how the universe is sort of showing you. You know, there may be some other things, like for you, you're like, for your coworker, I don't have anything to do with her. This is work. You know, I don't have anything to do with her. And I don't know, you know, with this other relationship with your friendship, you know, if there was something that you just have, it may have nothing to do with you. You know, it may just be a situation where, like, well, you know, we've grown apart, but you just didn't have that conversation. So there's no closure on that on your end. We can't speak for the other person who's not involved in this. You know, they're not calling up or sending us an email asking about it. So I think it's interesting that this now is about you really looking inside and saying, okay, this is how I would want to be treated, you know? And if it means like with Liz, she had to have a difficult, well, not that difficult, but, you know, it could be a daunting conversation when you're clearly not on the same page.
Yeah.
And you're just choosing to do your own thing. So for you to have, I think, to have a bit of closure with this coworker and also to view your coworker in a different light, because if this coworker is wanting to do more, like maybe be friends outside of work, and you're thinking, no, you know, this is too awkward, then that obviously it's your right, but it is better. I think it does better in the long run to show a little bit of compassion and maybe explain, not to go too much explanation, but at least, you know, have a conversation or have something. So she's very clear, like, this is what I'm, you know, I really just like having my work, you know, acquaintances here, and I've got, you know, plenty to do outside of work. So it's not going to be unfriendly, but it does more to then shut it down, because the more you ignore it and she's still around, the more she's going to be like, let me call your name a few more times because maybe you're not paying attention. Maybe that will open up a way for you to then have a conversation with your long lost friend. Maybe you let it go, or maybe it gives you the courage to at least ask, you know, to go forward and, you know, have that conversation with her and just see what happens. But there's something about having a compassionate heart, because there will be people that will adore you and think you're like the best thing since sliced bread. And then you're like, you know, but I only want to see you like 5 days a week here, you know, from 9 to 5, and I'm good. Like, you know, I don't see us being buddy buddy, but you know, like, but to be able to say it in a way that that still leaves everybody with you know, their dignity and just, I don't know, it makes things a little clearer so that, you know, they can still, you can still coexist without there being like some weird side eye, you know, action going on. Like, she said this to me, she was mean to me. I mean, and that's just, but that's just me. I'm just thinking that that's tied in with that other, with that email that I haven't seen yet. So that's interesting with this friendship and having some things resolved. There's some triggers there, I think, that just had just come up. And this is like the contrast of showing how do you want to be treated, and then how can you also, you know, fairly treat someone else so that there aren't like these bridges of burns or these huge gaps of like, I'm not talking to her, because it needs to be resolved, I think. Anyway, that's what I got.
There you go. Okay, so we're 2 for 2. So on that note,
so Shanika, good luck. I can't put you back on the air because, that was really scratchy at the end.
Yes. No, that's good. We're good. Yeah, listen, yeah. She got a doubleheader, okay. So she's good. She's good. And I'm not going to start part two of the story because we don't have enough time, but there is a total part two that involves somebody else. Oh, my. Oh, Jess. Oh, I went on a first date with somebody totally different last night.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jess. But I'll tell you how that all happened next time. This show is just, I don't know what's happening with the show. But anyway, but get out of your comfort zone, people, and let people know what you need and what you don't need, and be present with who you are. Life is so damn short, you know, it's everything's okay. In this moment, everything's okay. And life is just a series of moments of everything's okay. We'll figure it out. No matter what's going on, everything's okay. So on that deep, profound, philosophical note, Lois is just shaking her head like, girl, I know. Anyway, so if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. And we are scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, let the light do the work, and to brighter days ahead. Love you. Take care.
Love you. Take care, everybody.
Bye.